issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
I think it's safe to say that the public perception of the quote-unquote average Americans changed an awful lot. Used to be that people who just had their family values, their families, the basic kind of traditional values of America were considered to be salt of the earth. Then we got that paradigm of red and blue states, and they start talking about the square states or the flyover country. And if you look at the electoral map, it's just downright shocking to see the difference, at least in political terms, of the various states on the outer fringes and the various states on the kind of the inner channel of the map there. And the media has contributed to it with kind of a strange fascination with the average American lately. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Thursday afternoon, the 15th of November. Bobby Ross Jr. of GetReligion.org joins us here for the first few minutes of this hour. We're going to talk about several stories of media coverage of religion or that should have been covered with at least a religious angle. And then Peter Slayton's going to be our guest for the remainder of the hour. We're going to get a biblical reaction to last week's general election to answer all the gloom and the doom and the fear of God's judgment and God is judging us and God is not blessing the United States. How do you respond to that? Does the Bible support any of that? We'll get a response from Peter Slayton, author of two recent articles for a blog called Ad Crucem titled God Will Judge Us for This Election and Where Might Our Nation's Blessings Be Found? Bobby Ross Jr. is a regular guest. He's an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about this genre of story that you describe as ignorant people in the sticks story.
Well, I think it's kind of the idea of you take a smart reporter from somewhere like New York or Washington who feel pretty good about themselves and their intelligence level, and they go to go see the Beverly Hillbillies and try to help their smart readers understand somebody out in the sticks, that kind of thing.
Do you think and this has kind of been left to us after, I believe it was probably the Bush-Gore presidential election, the whole description of red state, blue state has come to be pretty loaded code, hasn't it?
I think so. You hear red state and you hear blue state, and you do get it. You know, there's certain issues that would go along with a red state. You would think probably against same-sex marriage, against abortion, a lot of the social conservative type issues in a red state, whereas a blue state would be seen as more open-minded and more progressive and pro-choice, pro-gay marriage, those type of issues.
Tell us about the Washington Post story that you read, a feature, if you will, on post-election Red America.
Well, this is a story where the reporter went to Hendersonville, Tennessee, which is in Middle Tennessee, kind of Nashville area, and apparently spent quite a bit of time with a person who had devoted a lot of energy and a lot of herself to the Mitt Romney campaign and was just kind of in shock over the fact that he ended up not winning and the country ended up reelecting Barack Obama pretty overwhelmingly in the Electoral College, at least.
What were your concerns as you went into the feature?
Well, my concerns, you know, you're reading the first paragraph, and she turns the radio to Glenn Beck, and she's pulling her American flags off the wall, and I'm just thinking, oh no, this is only going to get worse, and it's going to be a cardboard cutout caricature kind of story, and we're not really, it's just going to portray this woman as, your stereotypical ignorant person who has these views, and that's probably some of that's bias on my part, assuming those kind of things as I go into the story, but. As I got into the story, I ended up being impressed, and they ended up actually having some new nuggets of nuance, as I called it in the post I did for Get Religion, I did feel like I got a pretty good feel for this woman and what made her tick, and I felt like it was, the story had a little bit of an attitude, but I felt it was pretty respectful and pretty informative as far as this woman that it featured.
What in particular, vis-a-vis the religion angle, did you find impressive in the story?
Well, I found it impressive just the fact that he allowed kind of her faith to kind of, at various points in the story, you would read about her values and beliefs. She was described as prayerful. He talked about, certain beliefs being at the heart of her faith, and then by the end of the story, even end up following her to a small group prayer meeting at her church, where she and some other women who were disappointed with the election outcome kind of talk about their feelings and end up praying for the country and praying for the president and the soul of America. And it just the reporter was willing to step back and just kind of let the reader see what was happening there and make their own judgments about what they might think about that.
So in the end, this Washington Post feature, do you think it actually kind of did the job that people like you guys at Get Religion really hope is getting done when it comes to talking about the nexus between politics and values and religious beliefs?
I think so, because the story, it was one of those where we never claimed that, the story should be all religion and it should be, it should be all about where religion fits into this woman's life. What we say is that religion is an important factor, and you shouldn't ignore that angle. And in, I guess, in natural ways, you should let that part of this woman's life and that part of her motivation be apparent and be in the story. And I felt like they did that. That, they had the political angle and the kind of the cultural angle, but they also, I thought, did a nice job with the religious angle. So I would have to say, yeah, they did do what we would hope more would do.
On the other side of the coin, you've written recently about a New York Times story that, to use the Get Religion parlance, was haunted by quote-unquote holy ghosts. What is that all about?
Well, this was a story out of Prince William County, Virginia, that the New York Times did, and it was basically pretty similar to the Washington Post story as far as trying to figure out demographically why a certain place voted the way they did and why this particular county, which I think in the past may have been a pretty red kind of county, Republican county, had the demographics had changed and had gone blue. And the story, it focuses on race, as far as white people tending to vote for Romney and minorities tending to go with Obama in this election, and there being more minorities voting in that county, which is a pretty prominent county in the D.C. area, and also focusing on the discrepancy between how young people voted and how old people voted, and which were important angles, but I felt like they left out the religion angle, and the question of the word shrinking base was used to describe the supporters for the Republican ticket in this particular county. They never really, asked, well, was that shrinking base, does that include evangelicals? Are abortion and same-sex marriage, are these some of the issues that they're dealing with? And if so, wouldn't that be tied to religious beliefs as much as race and age and all that? And so, yeah, it's one of those stories where it felt like they went out of their way to avoid any kind of religious discussion.
What do you think explains that? Maybe not in particular in this story, but in general, it's not unusual to find religion as an angle, to some of us would be an obvious angle,
right,
largely ignored. What do you think explains that from the journalist's perspective?
I don't know. I don't know if they don't get that angle, or if they would prefer to put everything in terms of age and race and ignore that angle. I don't know. I mean, the New York Times, which had this particular story, which just ignored the religion angle, ended up, you know, in the days after this story appeared, had a couple of stories where they did go pretty heavy on the religion angle. So I don't know if they felt like they need to segregate the real politics from the religion, or why they wouldn't acknowledge that particular angle, where it, to me, would seem so clear of a topic that you should introduce in this story.
Do you think it could be as simple down to the individual reporter, maybe not in this case, but generally? They don't know much about religion. They're not familiar with that. Maybe not a lot of their friends are deeply religious in any sense, and so it's either a blind spot, or it's just not their area of expertise, and they don't know the questions to ask.
Right, I certainly think it could be that.
There's one other story I wanted to talk to you about very briefly, and that is a church for atheists. Give us a rundown on this and the coverage in particular. What do you think was missing from the coverage of this church for atheists? About minute and a half.
Sure. Well, this was a story in the Tulsa World, and I'm assuming it appeared probably on their Saturday religion page, but it's a story about a Unitarian church that has started a separate service for atheists, basically deciding that, you know, the atheists, even if they don't believe in God, that the community that church offers and some of the other aspects of church would be good for them. So, I mean, it's a great angle for a story, and apparently that service has taken off. But my concern was they interviewed the pastor and no one else, so the story asked, why would atheists go to church? And then the reporter never bothers to interview any actual atheist to talk from firsthand from their own perspective why they would bother to get up early on a Sunday to go to church.
And with only about 30 seconds, what kind of questions should have been asked of anybody sitting in the pew in the atheist church? One basic question, Bobby.
Why? Why are you here? You don't believe in God. I mean, you know, I get up early to go to church because I believe in God, but if I didn't, I can't imagine getting up early. I would probably sleep in. So, I mean, to me, that would be the obvious question.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
Well, when we come back, we're going to spend some time with Peter Slayton. He's been thinking a lot since the general election, since the night of the general election, about a biblical response to the events of that night and following. We'll get that response on this Thursday afternoon, November the 15th, right after this. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.